Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We always like to give you an analysis of what's really going on and kind of a counter to what we call the mainstream or the lame brain media, I call it now. I don't like to call mainstream. I call it lame brain. Some are more lame brain, but they're both on the left and the right. I saw four programs over the last few weeks by a Hispanic lady who was presenting information about how bad the Belt and Road program was and how, of course, building infrastructure. They were supposedly giving giant loans to some countries like Afghanistan to build these structures for infrastructure that, quote, they could never repay. I'm thinking, a few nights ago I saw a series show that I'm watching from Masterpiece Theater where Prince Albert from Coburg, who married Queen Victoria of England back in the 1830s, how he was, this guy's a science genius, okay? He was there with a Babbage computer thing just the night before last. And he was there a few nights ago, literally going on the railway, which is invented by a Scotsman who invented the steam engine. Actually, the fellow that invented the steam engine is my ancient relative, believe it or not. And it was a Scotsman who developed it, and the Tories pushed it. They actually had it on one of the Tory lands where they actually were testing out this new steam engine. And it was pretty exciting to see Queen Victoria after Albert went on the engine. She, at first, was jealous and kind of angry that he would go on there alone. But later she went on herself and it was like a big kid. People need to realize without infrastructure, there's no economy. Period. I mean, so when infrastructure is being sponsored, whether it's by, well, what I think America should do is just get in the program. Be part of the program along with Russia and China and America and Europe to try to build infrastructure everywhere. So we have better roadways, seaways, etc., which builds up these third world countries that don't have to immigrate to us. They have their own economy, and they have their own infrastructure so they can actually do things, right?
There's a line, Bill, that is prominent among most economists today, which is that any government spending on infrastructure is a waste. And this goes back to Phil Graham, the idea of pork barrels. But most of it comes from funding from the Koch brothers, who recently came out attacking Trump.
Right.
The KOCH brothers, who spent hundreds of millions of dollars on think tanks, which are anti-government, anti-infrastructure. They're pro-free trade. They're for outsourcing.
It's not really free trade, but I would relabel that term free trade because let's call it what it is. You know, if you see a beast out in the field, like an animal or whatever, you got to call it what it is rather than what you are trying to euphemistically call it. It's not really free trade. These are trade. If you want to call scavengers, they go into a country, they rip and tear things apart. Most of their employees are outside of America because they've actually moved business. And the fact is, if you have reciprocal trade, it's good for both China. For example, Mr. Ma, who came here last year from China, said, and again, remember, Alibaba, which he owns, is a big competitor worldwide to Amazon. And he said, for me to make 15 million jobs in China, I have to make 2 million jobs in America. And he told Trump that directly. And of course, he was using real, what I call, international trade math. If you want to build up trade and production in China, you got to build up trade and production in America, period. And so when I hear these kind of crazy things, and I watch this show with the Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, who's a It's science genius looking at the future, you know, whether it's the Babbage computer or the railway developed by a Scotsman who's my ancestor. I'm really fed up with left and the right not understanding without infrastructure. For example, if I was going to give a list of infrastructure for America, the first thing I'd say is rebuild not only roadways and your railways, but also build high-speed rail, bring in these engineers from China to build high-speed rail, build also high-speed underground transfer of all materials for recycling right down so you have no trash deposits and no plastic or straws or whatever in the ocean more than fish. And I'd have fiber optic everywhere. I'd have fiber optic to every home in America. If you want to build a new infrastructure with new scientists and kids that are starting at 3 and 5, learning how to use computers with high-speed super internet without radiation and thousands of times faster than our current crawling internet, put fiber optic everywhere, just like it is in Indonesia. If you go to Singapore, it's the law there you have to have high-speed fiber optic. You can't go anywhere without high-speed fiber optic in Singapore, right?
Bill, let me get back to the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, go ahead. I just got off on a tangent, but I get excited about this because I think that when I hear these counterpoint of views, even in so-called Fox, I call False News Network, I'm wondering, what the hell are they talking about?
Well, let me make the point, because this is really crucial, because there's now a big fight between Trump and these phony conservatives.
Right.
Who their idea of free trade is essentially corporate laissez-faire or corporate welfare, where the corporations can move to wherever they can make the biggest profit and pay the least wages and produce the shoddiest products.
That's the Koch brothers. That's the Koch brothers. C-O-C-H. K-O-C-H.
KOCH. Now, what they oppose Trump on immigration, because they say we need free immigration so you can get cheap labor and drive down wages, which is an anti-American idea. The idea of America is you lift everybody's wages by improving productivity. Secondly, they want totally unrestricted trade, which means corporations set the terms of trade, not nation states. They are opposed to any infrastructure spending by government. They say it should all be done by the private sector. If that were the case, we never would have had international continental railroads. We would never have the bridges that have been built. We wouldn't have most of the power plants and things of that sort. Because if you can restrict electricity to raise the price, that's what the Koch brothers believe in.
Right.
This is the Enron model. This is the deregulation model. They're opposed to Glass-Steagall or any regulation of banking. Now, they just came out at a recent conference and said they're going to take on Trump because they think Trump is going against the freedom policy that they support. Now, here's the important point.
Why do they call it a freedom policy? Because they twist
they're
words.
Liars.
They're liars. They twist words. So it's the exact opposite of freedom. It's a form of corporate raping terrorism. And like the Koch brothers, and they don't want real reciprocal free trade or even, you know, like Mr. Ma says, look, I want 15 more million Chinese jobs. Please continue.
The important thing is they're the major funders of the Republican Party. They spent $800 million in 2016. They're going to spend $400 million in 2018, and they're going to end up supporting some Democrats and anti-Trump Republicans.
Right.
Because they don't like Trump, because they don't agree with Trump breaking with the Bush-Obama legacy. And so you have to look at this question of free trade, of open borders, and things of that sort from an economic perspective. And the people who support these things against Trump are people who have made huge profits from cheating both the people in the country where they live and the people in the country where they are employed, that is, in the outsourced factories.
Right.
So this is important because you have people who say, well, China, by spending on infrastructure, is creating a lot of debt. Well, they are creating debt. Anytime you build something, you create a debt. Unless you're a billionaire who has the money to spend, and very few people actually can do that. The way that infrastructure is developed is what's called a capital budget. It's not part of your main budget, but you have a special budget for special projects. This is what Eisenhower did for the highway program. This is what was always done. This is what Lincoln did. This is what Alexander Hamilton
did. This is what they did to build the big dams, like the big dams across America, et cetera. Right.
And so you create a certain amount of debt initially, but if the projects are good projects and are done properly, they increase the productivity of the whole economy to allow themselves not only to pay off the initial costs, but to provide a fund for investment in the next era of technology. And this is what the so-called fiscal conservatives, the Phil Grahams, the Paul Ryans, don't understand. And that's why Paul Ryan, who's a beneficiary of Koch money, Paul Ryan works with Chuck Schumer, the Democrat, to sabotage Trump's infrastructure program.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Well, I believe in infrastructure in the steam engine. Sir Sanford Fleming and his ancestor George Fleming in 1815 developed the steam engine. That's my ancestor. So I believe in infrastructure, and I think anybody who doesn't is an idiot. Welcome back with Harley. So, Harley, people have to have a vision for the future. If I was to ask you the top two or three infrastructure things that need to be built in America that Lyndon LaRouche or Helga Zepp LaRouche or you would say or any other experts said, they're including Keisha Rogers, who, by the way, we're going to get her back on the program to help her get elected against Al Green. She's one of the independents for Trump. Again, I'd like to see independents for Trump, you know, not just GOP, because a lot of GOP aren't necessarily for Trump. But Trump is basically doing something because he's really not a politician at all. He's a businessman trying to run America like a business, which means he can easily incorporate principles from Lyndon LaRouche on the energy flux density in the economy, et cetera, and Hamiltonian principles that go back to philosophers that deal with how to run a real economy, not a kind of an economy for just the super rich like the Koch brothers. What would be the main infrastructure things you would recommend to people at LaRouche?
Well, let me take a slightly different, a bit of a detour here before I come back to that.
Yeah, come back whenever you feel like it, yeah.
There's some things that have happened in the last days which are absolutely astounding developments which Americans are not being told about.
Right.
So let me just run through a couple of them and give the significance of them. Then we can discuss from there what it means about economic policy in the United States. First, you have the BRICS summit in South Africa. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. But it included the BRICS plus. It included Indonesia, Turkey, Argentina, actually about 15 other countries, and a number of organizations like Mercosur, which is the economic community of South America, the Organization of Islamic Countries, which is the group of Arab countries that are investing in infrastructure. And what they discussed was the keynote of Xi Jinping, where he talked about the fact that now there exists a different model for economic development, which is the Chinese model. And he said, we didn't invent it, but what we know from studying history is that investment in science and technology and allowing countries to develop their own science and technology is what increases the economic strength of the world and the ability of countries to work together. And they talked about a South-South initiative, that is Southern Hemisphere countries working together in Africa and South America and so on. And they're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars of investments. Now, you have people like this economist you mentioned who try to make fun of this and say it's just a big debt scam and so on. But actually, one economic think tank after another, whether it's the, what's the one, not Arthur Andersen, but McKinsey Associates, they've done their reports where they're saying the Chinese model is working. Now, what's important here is that it's not just China. India's in it. Japan is in it. Now, something fascinating happened last week, an election in Pakistan. And the new president, Imran Khan, came out and said, we want the Chinese model, and we're going to work on the Chinese model. But at the same time, he said, we want to have a peace agreement with India. And for every step forward the Indians take toward working with us in Pakistan, I will take two steps forward to work with India.
Right.
And then immediately the Pakistani government announced there will be joint military maneuvers between Pakistan and Russia. This is totally outside the box because historically Pakistan was linked to China and Russia to India.
Right.
Now you have Russia, India, China, Pakistan, and Japan all working together. Now, this is astounding.
That's historic, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Then you had Eritrea and Ethiopia, who have been on the verge of war. They've actually fought several wars in the last 10 years, announcing a peace agreement, major infrastructure, connection to the port at Djibouti, and this is largely based on the Chinese rail line from Djibouti to Addis Ababa, so that Ethiopia is now connected to a seaport. You have any number of these kinds of developments that are taking place. Then you had Trump meeting with Prime Minister Conte of Italy. Hardly anything in the U.S. media on this. And what did they talk about? Well, they talked about immigration, which the press reported. But they also talked about U.S.-Italian joint bilateral economic relations. They talked about problems with the European Union. And immediately the press said, oh, this is trying to set up a Washington-Rome axis to counter Paris-Berlin. And Conte came out and said, absolutely not. We're willing to work with anyone who will treat us as a sovereign nation, which the European Union is not. So you have these developments, which are of great significance. The Chinese and Japanese are moving ahead with agreements. The Russians and the Japanese are working on a peace agreement. South Korea and North Korea continue to meet, and they're talking about finally ending officially the Korean War. So there's a whole new global order coming into existence. Now, on top of this, and this is the clincher, at the South Africa summit of the BRICS, the Russians said, look, we're not talking about an anti-dollar monetary system, but we're talking about a fallback option for parts of the world that can't get anything from the dollar system. And immediately what came up was Trump, people trying to say, oh, Putin and Xi are trying to outflank Trump and outflank the Europeans. No, they're basically saying your system isn't working. We need a system that will allow for expanded trade and investment. And what the Russians did in the last 6 months is they dumped most of their treasuries, about 80% of their treasuries, and they ended up buying gold. Was that because they're anti-U.S.? No, they're saying if the U.S. is going to sanction us, why would we keep our money in U.S. currencies, in U.S. treasuries? So the Chinese had a conference, the top leadership of China. What do we do if the dollar collapses? And they were talking about, number one, dollar support, helping the U.S., and number two, China expanding their relations with Russia and other countries.
Yeah, so but to be honest with you, let me make a comment here, though. 80 to 90% of the world currency is denominated either in physical or electronic dollars. So it's not sustainable for China to have an economy at all unless there's a collaboration with America, and China knows that. And
of
so do we. And then they know that. And so this is what I call pre-negotiating talk. It's like when Trump comes out and makes a really hard statement like Rocket Man to Kim and then sits down and thinks how much he likes him and then shows his video with a horse racing across the East China Sea like, you know, My Pony. The fact is that all these things, including the stuff with the recent tariffs on Chinese goods, is just a negotiating strategy to get it down to zero tariffs. And it's going to be good for everybody. Yeah, the Belt and Road is going to be good for everybody. The idea of intellectual property protection is good for anybody. But when you get all these Chinese engineers, there's more engineers graduating from Beijing than all the engineers and all the PhDs in any hard science in America every year. So it just makes sense to hire them to even come over here and say, let's build high-speed rail. Let's collaborate on defense diverse strategy, because 11 years in April from now, we're going to have the passage of Apophis. And it's not just likely that we're going to be hit by this asteroid, which is three times larger than the one that killed the dinosaurs. It's the danger of the debris field. It's the danger of coronal mass ejections. China makes the UHF transformers, which we need to protect our power grid, and we need to make deals on these now, so if it doesn't happen in 2 or 5 or 10 years, we don't end up with civilization crashing here around the world because we haven't collaborated with a DOA, or Defense of Earth DOE policy, which we need.
Normal blood.
Please continue. I'd like you to, this whole thesis, we need to go beyond, I call the red lines around all the left-leaning media like CNN and MSNBC, but also the right-leaning media that are anti-Trump and anti-global collaboration to create a stable world ecologically. For example, we have fires all over the world. There's all over the place, and people don't understand that the fire accelerants are aluminum oxides have been put in the upper atmosphere to actually have to create the upper atmosphere into a plasma as a carrier wave for standing waves to control weather. I build this classified information in terms of weather manipulation. There's five countries that have weather manipulation technologies. The two most advanced are America and Russia. The problem is the most powerful accelerant is ultraviolet light because the ultraviolet B, C, and D have increased 73% in the past 24 years, caused by our inability to get rid of old post-geriatric nuclear reactors and fix Fukushima, which, by the way, all the support companies are American. So we're not fixing it, and that includes the end of Trump. The fact is we need to move to fusion energy. We need to move to other technologies because as we use the nuclear reactors that are post-geriatric, as we don't fix Fukushima, we actually not only proliferate nuclear weapons, but we proliferate the danger to the ozone layer, which is causing accelerant of ultraviolet and cosmic radiation and X-rays. So the defensive Earth strategy, and people say, well, why are all the fires? Why is there extreme temperatures in places like there's a peak in Switzerland? It's actually melting. It's because not just infrared heat, it's ultraviolet light. It's melting that peak. And when it hits even Antarctica, ultraviolet light causes cracks in the major fault zones and actually the oceanic icebergs and can actually cause major damage. So I think people don't understand that we're in a very critical time here where it's not global warming like people think. It's actually climatic changes that are occurring because we're purposely not fixing it or trying to be a stabilizing influence for the ecological systems of the planet and water supply and superstorms. We had up in Northern California in Redding, what's called fire tornadoes with winds 143 miles an hour. This is happening because we're not paying attention, isn't it? And it's tied back to these same policies that LaRouche is talking about that needs to mean we need to stabilize the ecosystem with energy flux density and collaboration of scientists and technologists to realize the Earth is going to go through convulsions here shortly, isn't it?
Let me go back to the question of this emerging new paradigm that is what we've been talking about and we've been fighting for, LaRouche has been fighting for the last 50 years. I mean, he's been talking about a Russia-China-U.S. collaboration. This is what Trump is trying to do because he realizes that the Europeans are in a death grip of the city of London. And his belief was that the United States, even though the Federal Reserve and the money center banks and the related neocon, neoliberal networks control much of the politicians, he believed the American people could move against it, and that's why they would support him. Now, the problem that I point out in this new paper is that he is being poorly served by his own party. The Republican Party, and here's a perfect example. People who are well-meaning, like Devin Nunes, like Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, people who are exposing the fraud of the Justice Department, of the FBI, of Comey, of Mueller, of Brennan, and others,
right,
have a fundamental problem. Because what they say is, well, Trump didn't collude, but the Russians meddled. So they essentially are accepting the line of the people who created Russiagate. It's just that they're saying that the Russians worked on Hillary's behalf. Now, that's
right.
Preposterous. The Russians right. Didn't work on Hillary's behalf. Hillary had a money machine which was global.
Right.
They operated on her behalf. But who was it who came up with the line of Russiagate? It wasn't the Russians, it was the British.
Right.
Because the British are out to destroy Russia. Here's the other point on Hillary, why it's absurd to say the Russians are trying to help Hillary. The Russians knew that Hillary's policy towards Syria of a no-fly zone would lead immediately to a confrontation between Russian and U.S. planes over Syria and the Mediterranean.
Right.
And that sooner or later, this would lead to a shooting war. Trump, on the other hand, said, why the hell would we get involved in a shooting war in Syria, taking sides in a civil war where there's no American interest? Now, the problem with Nunes and these other guys is that as well-meaning as they are in exposing the corruption and the fraud, for example, the FISA warrant, how the FISA warrant against Carter Page and others was based on this fraudulent dossier from Christopher Steele, the ex-British intelligence guy. That's
right.
All excellent material, and it needs to come out. But then to turn around and say that, well, Mueller's right because there was Russian hacking. There's been forensic evidence presented by top cyber experts like William Binney, the former number one guy at the National Security Agency, who is essentially a whistleblower who was driven out by Bush and then sent to prison by Obama. Binney and his colleagues did an investigation that the FBI refused to do of what could have occurred to have the so-called leak of the DNC and Hillary Clinton documents. What they concluded is there's no way it could have been a hack because, number one, it would have taken too long to hack it.
Right.
And it would have set off alarms. And number two, the NSA would have a hack that large on its records.
Right.
So they looked, and what did they say? They said it had to be a download by an insider. Now, I don't want to get into the whole Seth Rich thing. The point is that Binney and others have said, why are you not investigating the likelihood that it was an insider and a USB stick? Well, because that goes against the deep state theory, which is not even a theory. It's an assertion to go after Russia. That's the whole intent of Russiagate. And so well-meaning Republicans are stupidly being herded into giving credibility to Mueller because they accept the nonsense coming from the FBI and the CIA. Now, Trump, on the other hand, no matter how much they push him, he still says it's a witch hunt. He doesn't believe that the Russians meddled. And that's why Trump is such a problem for the deep state, because he's not submitting. So I'm just taking the time to develop this, because
these
Republicans who are working with Schumer, they're working with Nancy Pelosi, they're working with Ben Cardin. Look, 98 senators voted sanctions last July against Russia based on the phony evidence that Russia hacked. The United States attacked Syria based on phony evidence, lie, that Syria used chemical weapons. And most Democrats and Republicans supported Trump on that. The Democrats and Republicans supported sanctions against Russia over the poisoning in Salisbury, England.
Well, we know that even the poison was actually something that was from Rosatom, was not from Russia, but was from Portendown.
Yeah, and so here we have people who refuse to recognize that they're being played for suckers by the deep state and being rewarded by people like Charles and David Koch with campaign contributions for being stupid. So this is really the problem we have in the world. And, you know, it's up to people like what Helga Zeplarush is doing, what my organization is doing, what Keisha's doing, Keisha Rogers, the candidate in Texas,
to go
out and speak the truth as loudly and as boldly as possible, to challenge all the nonsense, but to challenge it not as a personal attack on people who are victimized by the brainwashing, but to show them that they're the victim of a very concentrated operation that's been in place the whole post-war, post-World War II period of mind control, of media control, and so on.
Well, we still have it. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, all the public media manipulates you on the left and the right. And people don't get it. They're being pushed by the dialectic into making bad decisions, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what the problem is. And that's what LaRouche is trying to do, is make correct decisions, have all the facts in front of you, and realize there's cards on the table now that are going to get serious, aren't they?
Well, let's hope so.
Welcome back. Please continue. I like this article. It's really quite amazing. You put together, and we'll post it up as well. Please continue, because it's both the left and the right. It's the neocons and the neoliberals, Trump and the new paradigms fighting. It's interesting. A lot of the same principles are the ones that LaRouche has been fighting for decades, including would get him put in prison, fighting against the people that are like neocons, for example, like John Lightning Bolt and other people around Trump. So I want to see a thing I call the Samuel Council, which is basically like Samuel, the ancient high priest that actually was advising King David. I see Trump as like a modern King David who was going to make missteps if he listens to his advisors, rather than proceeding with things like the principles that LaRouche has put forward as a geopolitical and a science, if you want to call it, historical philosopher. Because really his main position is to be a philosopher of the third millennium, isn't it? Right.
And what Roger talked about was how far-sighted Lyndon LaRouche was, based on his experience from Roger's experience with the Reagan campaign in 1980.
Right.
He said he saw LaRouche numerous times in New Hampshire. He saw the LaRouche organization. And he said he went to Reagan and asked Reagan what he thought of LaRouche. And Reagan said, well, I may not agree with everything LaRouche says, but I agree with a whole lot of it. And what Roger spoke about at that conference is that LaRouche's ideas of the nation state and physical economy, and that Mrs. LaRouche brought to him the idea of the New Silk Road, which he wasn't familiar with, which he then presented to Trump. He pointed out that it's not surprising to find that Robert Mueller was deployed in his first major case as the head of the Get LaRouche Task Force in Massachusetts in 1987-88, when they were trying to shut down the LaRouche organization.
Right.
The same Robert Mueller, who was then hired by Rod Rosenstein to go after Trump today. Now, there's a very interesting short video on YouTube that I just saw the other day from 2003, when Mueller was FBI director, when he was covering up for BCCI and Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation money laundering, drug money laundering.
Which, of course, is tied to Comey, and also the Podesta family.
And when Mueller was also covering up for the funding of terrorists around the world, some of which was coming from the Bush administration and then later from the Obama administration, Mueller testified in 2003 that he has confirmed, his agency confirmed, that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, and that what concerns him the most is that these are going to be made available to terrorists around the world. Now, the irony is, the weapons that were made available to terrorists around the world were given to them by the CIA. But
yeah, through agencies that purposely knew they were going to slide over to the ISIS and Al-Qaeda, etc., aren't they?
But here's Mueller, who's portrayed as the straight arrow, the honorable man, the trustworthy man, who is pushing the same lie as Colin Powell, Dick Cheney, George Bush, that came from Sir Richard Dearlove, the head of MI6, and Tony Blair, who's one of the most evil people on the planet.
Oh, yeah, isn't he?
So if people knew that Mueller was saying in 2003 that the Iraq war was a good thing and that we needed to do it, Do you think they would be as likely to think that he's trustworthy in handling the Trump case when Trump, during his campaign, repeatedly emphasized that George W. Bush's war in Iraq was based on lies and that we should never be engaged in such kind of regime change, false flag wars? So you can see that the enmity to what Trump represents is not a personal thing at Trump. It has to do with global decisions, strategic policy, and the shift from a bankrupt, collapsing empire into the potential for the U.S. to collaborate with an empire, or not an empire, but a policy of economic development for all.
Right.
And Trump's America First policy has been repeatedly misstated by the media, which says it's only about America, making America rich.
What he says it's to make actually a level playing field so other countries can develop business when they collaborate, right?
Well, and what he says is that as President of the United States, his job is to put the interests of America first. However, part of those interests are good relations with other nations, collaboration
right.
where possible, and dialogue where there are disagreements. And for that, he's called by John Brennan tantamount to treason. So
right.
we're in a world where the insanity of the ruling elites is on display every day, but people don't know it because it's being portrayed as sensible, reasonable dialogue, and Trump is being portrayed as an unstable lunatic. So it's really critical that people go beyond the mainstream media and also just go beyond the knee-jerk reaction to it and actually go to the principles. How could you tell if what Trump is doing is right or not? What's it based on? How many people know the actual history of the American system, which Trump has cited on several occasions that he supports?
Right.
Now, his idea on tariffs is that you use tariffs to impose a regime which stops other countries from cheating you. But the ultimate goal is to establish a tariff-free trade relationship.
Right.
And so, again, what do we hear from him? Well, the media keeps saying he wants a trade war with China. We have a problem with China. It's partly China's fault, but it's mostly our fault. Trump himself said it's mostly the fault of Bush and Obama.
Well, the negotiators that made bad deals. But you know what? I'm sure with Xi and the Chinese people that are good business people like Ma, they realize China's not going to succeed unless their collaborator, America, could succeed. So it's almost like you need to have customers to have a business. America is the customer of China. They're the primary customer. So is Europe. If they don't make a deal, they're not going to have an economy. It's that simple, isn't it?
Well, it's a slightly more complex, but that's the right starting point. The right
yeah.
starting point is that China has purchased U.S. treasuries not to cheat us, but because they were the most stable investment they could do for a number of years.
What about a Bretton Woods system to fix, for a period of time to fix different currencies as well as part of the trade? Because what you want to do is you don't want to end up saying to drop trade barriers, etc., unless you actually fix currencies so you can't manipulate either. And that way both parties have to produce high-quality products, have a market, and market to each other, and don't have barriers. For example, when we ship cars to China, there's big tariff and non-tariff barriers. Those need to come down the same way in Europe. And, of course, I think Trump is making headway in Europe. I think he'll make headway in China, because China realizes, unless they collaborate with Trump, and it's, by the way, it's not going to just go away when Trump goes away in 2025 after his two terms. If they don't collaborate, China is done, because in the next 10 years, I see India and other nations taking over the industrial expansion that China's having a big heyday over the last 20 years. So China needs to have a window of opportunity right now, don't they?
Well, two things on that. One is the Chinese are not going to sit still and become an imperial hegemon, so the possibility that they stagnate is not too great. But the more important point you were just making, in 1984, Lyndon LaRouche convened a conference in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, to call for the reestablishment of the Bretton Woods system.
Right.
At the time, President Reagan was interested in that. We know that there are many people who understand the importance of that, fixed exchange rates, bilateral and multilateral trade deals as opposed to a multipolar world. The importance of being able to use credit for production and trade as opposed to currency manipulation and speculation.
Exactly.
So the Chinese and the various banks that are being set up, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, Shanghai Cooperation Organization Bank, and others, are all designed to start the basis for a new financial system, which would be
exactly.
So people should go to the LaRouche Pack website and start studying these ideas.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Go to LaRouchePAC.com. The other site is the EIR Executive Intelligence Review at LaRouchePUB.com. Amazing show today. Very appropriate. We're on the same rails, aren't we? Same thought pattern. As they say, Trump needs to keep on trumping. I'm going to try to convince Michelle to get those T-shirts.
High speed.
And Trump needs to have a back door. We need a Samuel Council with LaRouche there as one of the major contributors to ideas to keep Trump on track. How's that? Maybe that should be the other shirt. Let's keep Trump on track. If you want to make MAGA to make America great, we have to make the world great as well.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.